Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Alan from Seattle is. Alan, are you there?
I'm here.
Alan, if you beat Steve today, I'm going to send you a super cute holiday card from us. How does that sound?
I would love it. It'll go on my fridge next to all the pictures of my kids.
Awesome. That. Oh,
yeah, it's us
win.
With Santa Claus.
Yes, it's our faces with Santa. We are adorable.
We did go see Santa yesterday at the Space Needle.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was cool. My son was scared, but he ended up loving it up there. And now they're actually, him and my daughter are actually listening right now. Hi, Maisie. Hi, Crosby.
Hey, Maisie and Crosby.
Hi.
I didn't even realize that Santa was at the Space Needle.
That's so cool.
He makes the rounds
cool.
This time of year.
Take Tatum.
That sounds like that another thing to add to our endless amounts of Christmas type themed things. I feel like every other day we're doing some kind of a light display or a thing at the fair. Why not add on to the Space Needle? I love it.
Why not? All right, Steve, get out of here.
All right, see ya.
For those playing at home, Alan has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Let's go.
What band has the hit songs Even Flow and Alive?
Pearl Jam.
Correct. What does the abbreviation ETA stand for?
Estimated Time of Arrival.
Correct. What bakery company revealed a Merry Grinchmas donut collection?
Dunkin'?
No.
Voodoo?
No.
Pass.
What is the term for the process by which the body converts food into energy?
Digestion?
No.
Metabolism.
Correct.
Metabolization.
What that 70s show actress plays Amy in the comedy A Bad Mom's Christmas?
God, what's her name? Mila Kunis.
Yes. What are planets outside of our solar system called?
Stars?
No.
Pass.
Approximately what percentage of your brain is made up of fat?
60.
Yes. What is the capital of Alabama?
Mobile.
No.
Birmingham.
No.
Tuscaloosa.
No. Sloth and brown are types of what animal?
Say it again.
Sloth and brown are types of what animal?
Sloth and brown. Marsupials? Bears?
Bears. Yes.
Bears. Yeah. And then Dunk. Was it Krispy Kreme for the other one?
It was.
Oh. Let me have it. Come on. Come on.
I'll give you bear. How's that sound? Does that sound fair?
I'm already worried about the Beat Migs police.
I am too, okay? At least the marsupials and then bear and then, I don't know. But you ended up getting 6 correct.
You got a chance today.
You got a chance.
There were some toughies in there for sure.
Yeah, would you have done about the same?
Yeah, or worse.
Probably worse.
Probably worse.
Steve could be distracted and still sad about that Seahawks game.
I am.
He had to throw a birthday party yesterday, too. A lot of energy this weekend.
It was a full-on rager for a 5-year-old, man.
It was.
Yes, it was.
All right, Steve, are you ready?
Yes.
What band has the hit songs Even Flow and Alive?
Pearl Jam.
How did you know that?
That's so hard.
What does the abbreviation ETA stand for?
Estimated Time of Arrival.
Correct. What bakery company revealed a Merry Grinchmas donut collection?
I just saw them. Krispy Kreme.
Yes. What is the term for the process by which the body converts food into energy?
Metabolism?
Wow, yes. What That 70s Show actress plays Amy in the comedy of Bad Moms Christmas?
What's her name? Mila Kunis.
Yes. What are planets outside our solar system called?
Stragglers.
No.
I don't know. Dwarf planets?
No.
Black sheep planets?
No. Approximately what percentage of your brain is made up of fat?
Let's go with 10%.
No.
50%.
No.
69%.
That's nice, but no. What is the capital of Alabama?
Mobile?
No.
Alabama City?
No.
Can't think of another place in Alabama. Alabama?
No. Sloth and brown are types of what animal?
Slugs?
No.
Bears?
They are bears.
Damn it.
Oh, gosh.
You probably give him that.
Should I give him that one, too? I probably should.
I have a feeling that I just got crushed.
Because I gave it to Alan, and with that, then, you got 6 correct, which is a tie, 6-6.
Got me this time, Steve. You should have just gave me the Krispy Kreme, though.
I should have. Maybe you should have answered it faster.
Probably.
And then you would have won. I'm sorry, Alan.
I know.
Another That's tie. Okay.
Hey, but at least you got a picture with Santa.
Right? Yeah. At the Space Needle?
That is pretty
legendary.
Awesome.
What are planets outside of our solar system called? Exoplanets.
Oh, duh.
And the capital of Alabama. Alan named a lot of places, I believe, in Alabama, but he did not say Montgomery.
Mm.
And then you both eventually got that sloth and brown are types of bears.
Bears.
Congrats on tying again, Steve.
Why, thank you.
We have had so many people step up and donate to Coats for Kids this year, Rockaholics, and you can still donate. It's going until the end of the year. You can head to KISW.com to make a donation. People can also text KISWGIVE to 44321. And how are we doing on our quest for 50,000?
A few Rockaholics just made some donations. Nick Scroggins just joined the 69 Club, donating $69. Robert Duncan donated $50. Also, Cheryl Ruffner donated $40. And $40 is 2 brand new coats. It's $20 to put a brand new coat on a kid in need during this winter season. And right now we are at $43,805 donated to Coats for Kids.
That is so awesome. We are nearly there, Rockaholics, and you can help out at KISW.com. And thank you very much. Steve, what would you say was, you know, maybe a powerful phone call in a good way that you received?
Well, I mean, I just got one over the weekend that I definitely would love to share with people from our friend Craig Gass, which he sends me a voicemail, he usually calls me. I just don't take his calls. I just send him straight to voicemail. No, he always ends up calling me when I'm not by my phone, and I always get so bummed because then he leaves me this really heartfelt voicemail message about me helping him during his tough times to get sober. And usually these voice messages will put a tear in my eyes just because I'm just so happy that he's doing good and actually doing great and thriving. This time it brought tears to my eyes because I was just dying laughing at him. He was roasting me on the voicemail, on a voicemail where he's trying to tell me thank you for helping him get sober. And he spent more time just making fun of me, and it was so great.
Well, Rockaholics, if you can relate to this, if you've had a powerful, in a good way phone call that you've received, we want to hear about it. 206-803-ROCK. Give us a call now. We will hear what Craig said and take your calls after White Stripes.
The Daily Mix Show.
Rockaholics, thinking back, what was the most powerful, in a good way, phone call that you have ever received? Give us a call and tell us about it. 206-803-ROCK. Now, this past Saturday, Migs, I understand you had one of these phone calls.
I did. I get a phone call every year, almost mostly every year, from my our good friend, Craig Gass. Great comic, great dude. But, you know, way back in the day, over 20 years ago, he had his struggles with sobriety. He was kind of off the rails and going through some tough stuff. In fact, he just put it up on his Facebook page. I think it's the 20-year anniversary of him getting sober, and he talked about how he had a heart attack, and after he had the heart attack, he thought he'd be done doing drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff, and then next thing you know, he got back into it again, and like he nearly died, and then decided to still, you know, and a lot of people struggle with that, but then he was able to clean his stuff up, and he's talked about it on the air, so I don't feel weird anymore talking about it, because I've always kind of kept that quiet into the vest, because I was like, well, it's not my place to bring it up, it was just a personal thing between him and I, but he's shared the story on our show, and other people as well, a few times, and he's even shared it on Facebook about a phone call that I had with him, where I was just upset with him, because he just kind of just flaked out on us, because this was when he was going through his tough times, and I just said some things that, I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I probably am not very proud of how I handled it, but for some reason, in a roundabout way, how I handled it, because I was very upset with him, because we were friends and still are, but I was very upset with him. but he, it was a wake up call for him. And I didn't mean it to be that way. I was just really just mad and I was just venting. And I think he just, like, he's told me time and time again, he just needed to hear somebody say that, because none of his friends were saying that to him. They were mostly just either ignoring him or, you know, just kind of not saying that kind of stuff. No one was giving him, like, the ugly truth.
Yeah.
And so he left me the voicemail this year, and I was not able to get to my phone, and I saw the voicemail, and I knew exactly what it was, because I know it's that time of year, and it always puts a big smile on my face. But then he just starts making fun of me, and it's so great. And I was like, I got to share this one, because I thought it was just like one of those calls where it's like, yeah, it's a heartfelt call, but in typical Craig Guest fashion, he decides to turn it into the roast of Steve Meigs.
Oh, right on.
So here it is.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? It's Craig Guest, and I'm calling to say thank you, because that conversation that I always point to that I needed to hear today, this unbelievable miracle has happened, and I've made it to 20 years of sobriety, 20 years of recovery.
This is so amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't even, how time has flown by, and he's doing so well.
I have to call you to say thank you, because I desperately needed someone to care enough about me to say that to my face. So thank you. I hope life is treating you well today. It makes me smile to see how well things are going, watching you be a dad and a husband and doing it all right, while for some reason putting on tights and rubbing up against men in a ring. But hey, we all do it differently, right? We all find our truth in different ways. Some people need to get oiled up. That's what other men. That's your thing, man. I'm not going to judge. So thank you. Sincerely, thank you.
The funny part is, when he left this voicemail message, I was getting ready to wrestle a match. I was like, you could not have timed. I texted him back. I'm like, you won't believe what you, when you left that message, I was not getting oiled up. I don't oil up. I just go out there dry. But
oh, okay.
Doesn't
wow.
sound right. None of it sounds right. Such a weird world that I'm living in right now. But it was just like, the timing couldn't be better.
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, they say that people have to sometimes hit that rock bottom, and, you know, you kind of helped him hit his rock bottom, it sounds like, which a lot of people need in order to get that kick in the pants.
Many would say me coming to be the man of logic is rock bottom for anybody. So, yes.
True story.
Can you think of a powerful call? Any of you guys have, because we got a couple texts, like, for instance, at 206-803-ROCK, someone said the most powerful call I ever received, getting a call from my wife saying that she was pregnant, changed my life.
Oh, I love that.
Another one says, I got a call that I was being hired at the job that I'm at now. I was a loser and struggled finding jobs that were worthwhile and paid well, and then I got hired for my dream job. I can now provide for my family, and I'm happy to go to work.
That is super cool. I mean, for mine, I guess it was the work call, too. Like, when Sergeant Hair Club and Ryan Castle called me almost 12 years ago and said, you know, yeah, you've got this job. You're going to do part-time and weekends on KISW. I fell to the ground. I was so ecstatic.
Really?
Yes, it was this was a dream of mine, and I still get to do it. It's so cool.
Was there a first person you had to tell, like your mom? Who did you tell after you found that?
Brad was in the house with me, and he thought that something bad had happened, because I, like, went to my knees, like, and he thought, oh no, she got a bad phone call. And then he realized, like, no, she's freaking out with excitement and glee. It was great.
Glee.
Glee.
It was so good that glee became two syllables.
Glee.
Danny, what about you?
I mean, unfortunately, mine goes a little bit on the sad side of it, but it was when I had my conversation with my cousin about my grandpa when he was getting ready to pass. And it was just, you know, I had the conversation with my mom, and she had told me about, like, you know, he's not doing well. It's probably going to happen in the next few days.
Yeah.
And that one didn't affect me that much, but it was something about talking to my cousin who we're 1 year apart. He's like my brother. And somehow talking to him and just hearing his emotion,
it changed.
Man, yeah, I could not hold it together. Yeah. And I was like, I cried for probably 2 hours after that. And it was just like, I felt bad for him more than I felt bad about, because my grandpa was 100 years old. It was his time, you know?
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. It was just one of those. But hearing my cousin's voice, it was just like, ooh. That was rough.
There's something about that. Like, when you get that phone call, you're like, I can handle this. I know I'm fine. And then all of a sudden you hear, like, the quiver in the person's voice that you're talking to, and you're just like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I can't handle this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the sad end, I think about the time, like, when my brother called me, is like, I think you need to, not even with my dad, it was about my grandpa. I mean, my dad obviously as well, but I remember him just saying, hey, we need you to get on a plane as soon as possible. We don't think grandpa's going to make it through the night.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, crap. And so, I mean, we were getting on, and sadly he passed while I was flying from Seattle to New York. It was hard, but, like, that same thing, I heard it in his voice. And, like, I would have still probably been a wreck.
Yeah.
But that made it worse, because you, you're talking to someone and you just hear them struggling and you're like, well, now F, like, this sucks.
Yeah, now it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of us were pretty upset about the Hawks losing last night. That was quite the blow. And you know what? I was actually kind of happy I missed about half the game, so I guess I wasn't as disappointed as people that watched the entire game.
Dude, after the first quarter, I honestly, and I know that they always can, they could still make something happen. They still had a chance at the end of that game, which blows my mind. But it was like after that first quarter, I'm like, what? I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. I think I'm just going to go do something else.
Well, a lot of the Hawks fans flocked to social media last night, Steve Miggs, to talk about how unhappy they are. So we're going to go straight to the comments at 8:20.
The Daily Miggs Show. Everyone knows social media is a time suck. And what you're about to hear proves it. If it's online, someone, somewhere, has an opinion and is whining about it. So let's get straight to the comments.
Waking up as a Seahawks fan this morning hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you had a good 4 weeks of really fun morning wake-ups.
And then last night, the Green Bay Packers beat us down 30-13. That four-game winning streak came to a close, and Geno Smith had to leave the game. We think something's going on with his knee. It sounds like he's going to be all right, but that was awful when Sam Howell had to come in and try to fill the gap.
And it just kept getting more and more awful.
Yeah, it sure did. So after the game, Sam Howell ended up talking to the media.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I got to be better. You know, I think this is my job, is to be ready to go in there and play well and help this team win. And I didn't do that today. So, I mean, I just got to be better and, you know, watch the film, learn from it. But definitely we had chances there in the second half. Defense played well, put us in good position. I just got to be better.
Yeah, once the defense starts stepping up, I'm like, there's still hope. I mean, it's just you get a touchdown, you're now just down by three at that point. And then I realize, Geno's not our quarterback right now. It's Sam Howell. There's not a chance in hell this is going
to
happen.
Well, many fans are very unhappy with what happened yesterday, so we will go straight to the comments.
Yep, we found some of those posts and some of those comments about Sam Howell and sent them to our production director, Jason, and said, hey, reenact them however you'd like, just to illustrate how upset and hurt some Seahawks fans are after yesterday's loss. Are you ready for the first comment?
Go Hawks.
Well, good news. We now know Sam Howell sucks. So all you Geno haters can now shut the f*** up.
I'm sure people are going to still find reasons to complain about Geno. I saw some people complain that it was like there was a conspiracy that because he went out at the time that he went out, it affected some people in the gambling world. And so there was a whole conspiracy. I saw a lot of people. I was trying to find out what's up with Geno Smith's injury. So I did when you put in the search bar, you just type in Geno Smith. And it's all these angry gamblers.
Oh,
they're
no.
Just like, oh, convenient that he got hurt on the, like, something about, like, you know, 149 yards as opposed to 150. Because then that would change how this thing is with this. It's stuff that's out of my world. But there were a lot of people upset about that. I'm like, damn, that's quite the conspiracy theory.
Oh, for sure.
I just can't do this anymore. This whole being a Seattle sports fan is b****. I feel like I've been beaten down by all of our teams over the last decade.
That's for me.
Yeah. It is a rough life.
It's cracking didn't play too well. Mariners are the Mariners. I mean, the Sonics haven't been... Wait, yeah. Never mind. It is a rough time to be a Seattle sports fan. I mean, the Sounders made the playoffs, but then they lost. Yeah. All right.
Cut off Geno's leg and he would still throw better than Sam Howell.
That's a little extreme. I don't think we need to cut his leg off, but I kind of agree. You put a knee brace on Geno Smith, I'd feel better about him than Sam Howell.
1,000%.
Dear all you Sam Howell ass kissers, will you now shut the up anytime Geno throws a bad pass?
Yeah, it was rough. It was not fun to watch.
No, and yet I still have this weird optimism.
I know!
That has been I really feel like that has been the theme of this entire season. Like, at first, 3-0, we're freaking unstoppable. Then, they lose a good chunk of games after, like, mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, they had to play 3 games in an 11-game stretch. Okay, the season's done. But then all of a sudden, 4-game winning streak. We got this, first place. Now here we are.
Complaining destiny. Again.
Complaining, but there's still parties like, well, if you beat the Vikings, then...
That's a tall order.
And to think over the weekend, I met a rockaholic by the name of Jeremiah, and him and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, if the Seahawks make the playoffs, all bets are off. You just don't know what's going to happen. I feel pretty good about this team. It's like, well, that conversation happened before Sunday evening.
Oh, no.
I promise you that much. All right, we got another comment, I believe. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Sam Howell looked like he hadn't even played peewee football. If Sam Howell is our quarterback for the rest of the season, excuse my French, but we're f***ed, eh?
I don't know if the person was from Canada. We have a lot of Canadian Seahawks fans, so
we do.
Quite possibly they were.
Oh, yeah.
All right, one
go more. Hawks.
There are two kinds of backup QBs. The ones who train preparing to play every week, assuming that it'll happen. And the ones who are simply collecting a paycheck. Tonight I perceived Sam Howell as the latter, and it's quite frankly disappointing.
He just looked lost out there, like it was his first day.
And I keep in mind, in all fairness, he's walking into a situation where, like, I mean, that's tough. And also, your center got injured as well, mm-hmm. So now you're down to, like, they already had their center retired, then they got this the other guy, Olu, and he's been playing pretty well, decent enough, and then he gets hurt. So now all of a sudden you're on, like, pretty much your third-string center with your backup quarterback. I don't know why I had any hope that this thing could go well.
I just always will remember your 12-5 prediction from this year, Steve.
Well, it felt good until 5:20-ish last night. After they marched down and got that touchdown at the get-go, I was like, oh, man. Sad that the highlight of the entire game was watching John Ryan raise the 12-man flag. But that was pretty cool.
That was a moment. And we need another moment this weekend versus the Vikings.
Especially when he started flexing.
I know. He's so ripped. He's like a cyborg.
And I heard, I think it was Sarah Colonna, of course, that's his wife. And she posted something like that. That's just been a massive bucket list dream for him, was to raise the 12-man flag. And he got to do it on Sunday Night Football. Perfect guy, because he did play at one point with the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Seahawks. I thought it was cool before the game started that Mike Holmgren doing like a little narration set up for this game, because he was once the coach for both the Packers and also for the Seahawks as well.
Ah, if only it had gone the other way.
It didn't.
Why would a 6-year-old be working at Dunkin'? We're going to tell you what's trending after Trapped.
The Daily Migs Show.
We know that for many of you, you're just waking up. You're getting through your Monday morning. You're trying to keep up on what the heck is going on in the world of pop culture. And there's a lot out there. So we're here to help you out and tell you what's trending.
What's trending on the Daily Mix Show? What's trending? Let's go. Let's go.
A 6-year-old with cerebral palsy got to be an honorary employee at Dunkin' in Virginia this past Thursday.
That's awesome.
His name is River. He loves Dunkin'. It was actually his Halloween costume this year. So getting to do it for real was an absolute thrill for him. This is River's mom, Paige, talking about the experience.
We started bringing him every Sunday to get a donut, and immediately donuts became his favorite thing. And so that's what he wanted to be for Halloween. So it was a Dunkin' Donut worker. To know that he got to have this special day, it means a lot to us and to him. I mean, I didn't have to do anything today. He took over. He smiled. He loved it. This is his thing right now.
His mom was not the only person that talked about it. The employee that got to work with River, her name is Emily. She also talked about working with him.
Dunkin's all about spreading joy and positivity in our local communities. And so when we came across this story, it was the perfect opportunity to highlight some really great positivity here in Bedford, Virginia.
I was just thinking about, like, if my kid had an opportunity to work wherever their, like, place that they obsess over, it would be a Target.
She'd be a Target lady. Yes. I love it.
She even got, I thought of you, Sarah, because she got a Squishmallow, one of those Squish pillows, and it was a Target, the Target dog. Is it
Bullseye?
Bullseye.
That's so cool.
And like when you go to Target, they have an entire section in their toy section that is just Target-related toys. And a bunch of the kids at my kid's birthday party were like freaking out about the Target little shopping cart that she has.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what Target's done and how they've brainwashed our children, but my child is obsessed with Target. She would work there in a heartbeat.
Brilliant branding.
What about Barrett?
Oh, the country store.
The country store.
The country store.
He'd work there, no problem.
In a second, because they've got all the animal, you know, feed and all the hay, all that good stuff. Plus, they've got kids' toys.
That's his jam.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They got tools, construction stuff, all of it.
All right, Danny, what about Lily? Is it a hot topic, just like her old man?
You know, honestly, probably. She said she wants to work there now. She's kind of still.
For real?
Yeah.
That's like, awesome.
I don't even, like, she doesn't really have, like, a favorite, because Target used to be, but now that she's gotten older, I'm pretty sure it's going to be hot topic.
It's probably been a long time since you've had the friends and family discount there.
It's very true. Yeah. I need that 40%.
You could finally get a new wallet chain.
No.
No, all you stick with the OG. Crazy, yeah.
Okay.
And Sarah, what about you? For George, where would he want to work if he...
Oh, Home Depot.
Yes.
For sure. My big child.
cold.
I would just take George to Home Depot just to like help me find stuff. I feel like he's very good in that store.
I'm with you. Every time I go, and it's always I go for the same things, and every time I walk in there and I am just completely lost. I'm like, I've been here for this thing so many times, and every time I'm like on my phone trying to find like what aisle it's
in.
Oh,
yeah.
George makes fun of people like you guys.
I absolutely should.
Yeah.
I'm just a moron walking around Lowe's, Home Depot, any of those places. Speaking of morons, Machine Gun Kelly's in the news. And it has nothing to do with Megan Fox, although part of me wishes it did, because I cannot believe that he did this. He did his own version of, and I don't know if anyone's out there, do you know the social media trend where you're trying to avoid that Wham song Last Christmas?
Oh, yeah, like how many days can you... outrun it, basically.
I pretty much lose like day one, because once we put on like the Sounds of the Season music channel on like on Xfinity, it's like that song ends up going on, or the Taylor Swift version. But we have a new version of Wham's Last Christmas, and it's Machine Gun Kelly. Do I dare play it for you guys?
Oh, God.
Would you like to hear what it sounds like? Yeah. Daniel, you might like it. Maybe it's pop punk. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
It kind of is.
This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it someone special.
Yeah, I'd rather hear him talk about Megan Fox. But oddly enough, this was on the NBC special, A Motown Christmas. And I know you watched it. Can you answer my question? Why is Machine Gun Kelly on A Motown Christmas? The last thing I think about when I think of Motown, like, is Machine Gun Kelly.
Right? So it was at the end of his performance, Smokey Robinson ended up interviewing him for a couple minutes, right? But he, first of all, was thanking Machine Gun Kelly for bringing all of these new listeners and introducing them to Motown, which I was like, God, Smokey, don't give him all this credit.
But they're probably like, Smokey, you got to spin it. We don't know what to do. Everyone thinks this is the dumbest idea, but here we are with this guy. Can you spin it some way? And I don't think anybody that went to watch Machine Gun Kelly all of a sudden becoming fans of Motown.
No,
I could be wrong.
But and then also in the comment sections, it was like, everything I saw on Instagram was just about Megan Fox on the other side of all of that disaster going down. But then you go to YouTube and all of his fans were there just singing his praises that they loved it. And he's such a diverse artist and he just did such a great version of that. And I could not have disagreed more. I hated his version.
Wow.
I didn't think it was anything special. I sure as hell would never have pegged it for being on Motown's Christmas special.
Somebody referred to it as an emo cover, too. And I was like,
Oh, Danny, did you play it at emo night on Saturday?
I sure did not.
Missed out.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Rockaholics, we have one more opportunity for you this morning to play the game Beat Migs. And Steve has tied twice so far today. He's got a record of 346 wins, 112 losses, and 61 ties in 2024. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 850.
The Daily Migs Show.
The Daily Migs Show.